Well, I think as federal employees, we're always going to have a higher bar test in terms of oversight. But I've talked to both the AIG and I've talked to David Shea about the issue that was raised. And in both cases, you know, you heard the IG talk today in the hearing where he said, listen, he's not going to comment on managerial decisions and he's not going to second guess the way I do my job. But I'm going to have the same level of respect for him. But in talking to David Shea about, you know, what happened and frankly, the result, the outcome, the fact is that, you know, a very high-level investigation was done of the conference, and what they found was that none of the abuses, absolutely none of them, were proven to be true. And so in many ways, he stood a very difficult test, and like many GSA employees do every day, they have a higher level of oversight and expectation, and they rise to it and they meet it.
But does it concern you, and let's step away from David Shea, the person, but does it concern you that GSA, your employees, could be facing this 11:30, 11 o'clock knock on the door? I mean, if you step back, one of the things someone brought to my attention was, well, what if that was a woman in the room instead of a man? Would the IG have taken that same tactic? And if they would, isn't that scary? I mean, I'm not going to ask you the Michael Dukakis question, but so don't worry. But I guess my feeling is there has to be some level of expectation of how you'll be treated as a federal employee, and that's got to come from your office on its way down, whether it's from the IG or from your subordinates, and maybe people at GSA feel like that's not part of it, or that's not being communicated as well as it could.
Well, I think actually, if you look at the actions from when I got there on day one, I've been working very closely in partnership with the IG, Brian Miller, and his team to make very clear to folks that there really should be no daylight between us and the IG in trying to get to the same end, the same goal, and that is delivering the best and highest quality services at the most efficient price. And so we're gonna find our way through that. But I think what we have to recognize is step way back and say, look, we have a shared goal here, protecting taxpayer resources and making sure that we deliver high quality services, and we're going to do what we can to see that through.
The consolidation on IT, obviously it's a lot of people are interested in that. Can you give me any more details in terms of how that's going to work? There's a CIO shop, for instance, in FAS, a CIO shop in PBS. Yes. Are those CIOs going to become, for instance, deputy CIOs, and then the staff is just going to kind of get merged together, or do you not know yet?
I'm going to ask the CIO organization themselves to figure out how, to give me some ideas of how they think they could structure themselves to be more effective. And I'll put aside titles. They're almost the least important thing. What I really want to do is make sure that we leverage the full scale of those organizational resources and solve the agency-wide problems. You know, even within the PBS, there's a problem of cohesiveness within the PBS CIO structure, as resulting in the results being what we discussed in the hearing today, the fact that we have 11 different building management systems rather than one integrated system. That means we're spending 11 times as much as we need to on buying that system. We're spending more money than we need to on maintaining the system, and we don't have the kind of consistency we need to deliver a higher quality program. And that's really what the benefit of IT is, and we haven't fully realized it.
Do you know yet if, for instance, Casey Coleman's still going to be the GSA CIO, or those things are still yet to be decided? I mean, not that she's going to leave or anything, but...
Casey Coleman's the GSA CIO, and we're really excited that we're giving Casey the authority and as a result, the accountability to really do that job and to really deliver on the results.
What about the changes around the chief people officer? The CIO's office was easy to understand. There was a PBS person, there was an FAS person, there was the headquarters person. Was the HR setup very similar, where there was a hiring person over at PBS, FAS, et cetera?
Actually, the HR function was even much less easier to understand than even you describe it. The issue was that not only did we have people who work for our CPO out in the field, we also had parallel or shadow CPO functions in the field, and in some cases, several layers of it. So what we're saying is, listen, we really need to focus the human capital activity on not just doing the processing of paperwork, which we haven't been doing as efficiently and as well as we can, certainly not as transparently as we should have, as you could see from conversations about bonuses and performance. And so what we want to do is take that group of folks. We want to streamline those basic processes and really turn them loose on the more complicated processes of human capital planning, really working on developing training plans for employees, the real meat and interesting stuff in the human capital field.
The other significant piece of your testimony in the hearing today was around the fees. Obviously, a lot of interest from vendors. Many years, vendors have thought the fees was too high. When is that working group going to get together? What's the timing around? Do you hope to have a decision in by December, by next month?
Well, I've charged Mary Davey with pulling together the working group of the agencies, and she's supposed to come back to me in the next couple of weeks with a plan and a strategy. And from there, I'll have a better sense of the timeline. What we're really trying to do is send a signal today, both to our vendor community and to the agency community, is that we get it, we hear them, and we're committed to making changes.
Will vendors be included in that working group initially, or maybe there will be a second round where you'll then bring in the kind of the public-private collaboration?
I think we have to be careful how we describe any outside government participation in the working group, but I will tell you that we will involve and engage vendors and solicit their input and their ideas.